If you'd like to receive this podcast early and without ads, consider becoming a member of the DSR Network. Listeners to this show can receive 25% off the membership price. In addition to an ad-free listening experience and early access, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our episodes via our private member feed, enhanced show notes for select podcasts, and an invitation to join the DSR Slack community. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and enter code DAILYBLAST to receive 25% off. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code DAILYBLAST. This offer is limited and will expire on Saturday, March 23rd, so act now. And thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent. This week, Donald Trump's lawyers admitted that he's failed to secure a bond to cover the $500 million penalty he faces in his civil fraud case in New York. He asked an appeals court to delay the judgment because, as the New York Times delicately noted, he does not have enough liquidity to persuade any company to provide that bond. Translation, he doesn't have the cash. This is humiliating to Trump, especially relative to his own self-mythology, but we think this also points to a series of broader weaknesses that go well beyond the story, ones that could hobble his 2024 campaign and are only just becoming apparent. Today, we're discussing this with the New Republic's Timothy Noah, author of a great new piece on Trump's financial travails, which predicts that in the next few years, Trump will declare bankruptcy. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Tim, as you write in your piece, Trump faces a massive pileup of judgments, and while he's still rich, he doesn't have the money to cover them. Can you explain why Trump needs this bond and recap how we got to this current moment?
There have been two judgments against Trump, one in New York State court, one in federal court. And so he owes, as you say, $500 million, actually well over $500 million. And he went into court on Monday and said of the larger of the two judgments that he couldn't cover it. He is obliged to come up with about $500 million by March 27th. To cover the New York State Court case where the Trump Organization was found to have committed fraud. He's appealing, and while you're appealing, you have to put up money, you have to get an appeals bond in case you lose your appeal. And nobody is willing to guarantee it for him. Nobody's willing to lend him the money. And interestingly, it's not just that he's cash poor, but that nobody is willing to take any additional real estate as collateral.
So there's a second judgment against Trump related to the E. Jean Carroll case, right? And he just secured an appeal bond of $91 million to cover that one, correct?
That's right, he did. And it's covered by Chubb. And in that case, they are willing to guarantee $91 million on Trump's behalf using collateral, but $91 million in collateral is a lot less than $500 million in collateral, and there doesn't seem to be a company willing to accept collateral on that. He doesn't even have $400 million in cash, is the best we can tell. The estimates I've seen have been closer to $350 million in cash. And, I'm sure that's not a new figure. And he's had lots of money woes over the last year. So who knows how much he's got on hand.
Yeah. And what I thought was really interesting about your piece is that you point out that even if the insurance giant Chubb is willing to do this, the question is why? If Chubb ultimately has to pay that money, Trump will do everything in his power to resist. Why would they do this for someone with a decades-long history of stiffing people of all sizes?
Right. It's a very interesting question. And they're going to be under the microscope for the rest of the year on this, because there is no rational reason for them to lend him this money. They put out a letter to their shareholders last week saying, look, we made a business decision here. We are confident that we can seize his collateral if we have to. But, go seize collateral from Donald Trump. It's going to be hard. Everybody who knows Donald Trump knows he's going to make it as difficult as possible.
Yeah, and that gets at a broader set of issues here, right? More broadly, anyone who helps Trump at this point will be perhaps hoping for some sort of other kind of payback if he's reelected president. How vulnerable does that make the rest of us? How vulnerable does that make the country should he win?
Right. It's a very, very unusual and sordid situation where, you've got somebody who might end up being president in 8 or 9 months, deep in hock to a private company. And so who knows what Chubb thinks they're going to get out of the deal. But the suppositions are not flattering. There have been all sorts of rumors, most of which I think are not true. There was a rumor flying around that it had something to do with Chubb's doing business in Russia, but it's not a Russian company. It's a huge multinational. I think it's more likely that they want something in the regulatory sphere, and they have improved their chances by lending the man $91 million.
And his financial situation makes it him a very ripe target for other unsavory characters to come along and volunteer this kind of money to help him out, in the expectation that he won't pay them back financially, but might pay him back in other ways, right?
Right. I mean, the good news is that this week we've learned that he's tried something like, 30 corporations, and nobody's been willing to do it. So the good news is there's nobody quite so corrupt and rich at the same time that they're willing to lend Trump $500 million, knowing that he's not going to pay it back. So that's the good news for the rest of us. It's terrible news for Trump.
I think this story provides a kind of entry point to a series of deeper weaknesses Trump faces right now as well. Let me recap this. He's already redirected tens of millions of dollars in cash raised for political purposes to cover his legal fees. Some Republicans are now fearing that his takeover of the Republican National Committee means he'll keep tapping GOP resources to foot his own legal bills. He's also pretty likely to be embroiled in one or more trials when the campaign is in full swing. In short, his mess is deepening on multiple fronts and in every way will likely get worse at precisely the moment the public really starts focusing on the campaign.
Yes, it's incredibly damaging. The criminal prosecutions are very damaging. I think there's a new poll out that today or yesterday that says that the prospect of a conviction is very damaging to his potential support among independents. But I'm focused on the money because it's just mind-boggling that somebody running for president would be in hock for $500 million-plus dollars. And, I think we may see Trump go bankrupt. I think it's going to happen sometime within the next few years. It could happen next week. It depends on whether Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York State, eases up on her demand that he provide $500 million bond. If she does, and if it's really true that the money can't be extracted from either Trump or the Trump organization, we could easily see Trump declare personal bankruptcy.
I think this gets at something else as well. The national security lawyer Bradley Moss made an interesting point to me. He noted that as Trump's financial mess deepens, it'll make him look almost like a hapless, pathetic figure, in addition to a corrupt one, undermining his brand as a kind of financial wizard. And I think there's an interesting tension here I want to run by you. On the one hand, any and all news of Trump's legal travails just tightens his grip on the MAGA base because they're determined to see him as a victim in every conceivable sense. You know, the deep state is out to get him and so forth. But on the other hand, outside that MAGA bubble, all the flailing, financial and otherwise, is more likely to just undermine his effort to portray himself as a commanding, dominant figure, which really is essential to his political mystique. Does that seem right to you?
You know, it could. I don't know. I mean, he's on the one hand, he may pick up a pity vote. On the other hand, he loses the I'm a master of the universe vote. And I think he does look somewhat pitiful in these very straightforward legal decisions. I mean, was there anybody, even among his supporters, who doubted that the Trump Organization was misrepresenting his net worth to his bankers? You know, similarly, he can't stop. Even now, he can't stop defaming E. Jean Carroll. And so he might incur even larger penalties, and he doesn't have the money to cover them.
Right. And you referenced this poll earlier. It's a Politico poll. It also finds that 59% of Americans think Trump should stand trial before Election Day for charges related to his insurrection. And I think it's worth reminding ourselves of a basic reality here. A sizable chunk of Americans, a solid majority, I think, believes Trump committed crimes and is deeply corrupt and did many other bad things, and believes the justice system is treating him fairly, not victimizing him. So in a case like this, when Trump faces a whopping civil penalty for financial fraud, it only reinforces a sense that Trump is a criminal or a serial fraudster or what have you. When that's in the news, it's worse for him. And the current dynamic is that this will be in the news more and more as voters tune in. Am I right? You read his financial situation very astutely, and that's where this is headed, right?
He's in terrible shape. I mean, no matter what happens, I think he's going to go bust. I think it's really just a question of how fast he's going to go bust. And, you know, we haven't seen a former president go bust since Ulysses Grant. And what Ulysses Grant did famously was he wrote his memoirs. Mark Twain, he was dying of cancer. Mark Twain helped edit his memoirs, and they saved the day. They made him a fortune of money, I think posthumously. I think he died before they were published. But, you know, he wasn't running for office at the time. He was an old, sick man. Here we've got Donald Trump, who's broke, on the verge of bankruptcy, and he's running for president. It's a wild and situation that is just ripe for corruption.
And doesn't it just sort of, I think, as it escalates, threaten to really undermine his political mystique in a deeper sense?
Yes. I mean, people, a lot of his support is based on this idea that, gee, I'd like to be just like him. I would like to be so rich that I can say and do whatever I want. And it's he is not so rich that he can say and do whatever he wants. He never was, really. But now he's not even rich. Now he's in serious financial trouble. And it's not, you know, sort of, billionaires famously are, you know, in debt all the time, but this is a different kind of debt. This is a debt he has to pay before he has the money to pay it. And if for some reason he comes up with a way to cover the current debt, either through some sort of easing up by Letitia James or some intervention at the last minute by some very rich, very probably, potentially, anyway, corrupt entity. If he escapes this time, he won't escape next time because he has a pile of other mounting liabilities financially from all sorts of courts, even abroad in London. So this is not going to be end happily for Trump.
It's often said that Trump's corruption is kind of baked in with the electorate, that voters already know what he's capable of and what he's done. I don't really buy that. I think here we're looking at a sort of potential for corruption that would really constitute new, jarring, and alarming information for voters were they made aware of it. And it seems like the current dynamic is positioned to really force a pretty big public discussion of what it means that someone running for president is making himself vulnerable to that type of corrupt influence peddling in the way he is now.
Absolutely. And you can connect it up with a million stories that predate this of Trump's corruption, you know, going back at least as far as his being nailed for fraud with Trump University right after the election. This is a guy who has done a lot of corrupt things over the years and gotten nailed in court for it frequently, and who also hired a lot of corrupt people in his previous administration. You know, that's also something that we'll probably be revisiting is the number of really sort of outrageous characters who he put in the Trump administration last time.
Right. There's certainly an immense pileup. And I think maybe some of our listeners will be a bit skeptical. They might say, well, okay, we've been told for years that his comeuppance is just around the corner, and that hasn't happened. There is this kind of fatalistic tendency among many liberals to believe that the House of Cards can't ever collapse on him. And yet, I can't help but, and maybe I'm just delusional, but the piling up of legal judgments he faces seems like something new. It seems like he's trying to outrun justice on too many fronts at once to really be able to escape it in at least one instance.
I think that's right. And I think, you know, I think there is a breaking point. The breaking point is so far beyond what I imagined it would be. But it's got to be there. There has to be a point at which people say enough. And we may be in the process of finding out where that is.
Well, I certainly hope so. Timothy Noah, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler and the DSR Network.